All right, good morning, everybody. The last couple of weeks, Pastor Jeff has been talking to us about soul survival, the things that help our souls make it through this life. And last week, he talked about how our souls can't survive without the joy of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, he talked about how God's love is like the gasoline that powers our souls. If our souls were cars, we would run on God's love. So I want to kind of continue today in that idea of things that our souls need, things, ways we can take care of our souls and have healthy souls in these days. And I wanted to start off with the kind of a humorous video clip. I don't know if you've ever seen this show. It's popular, I guess, over in England, UK. It's called Top Gear. Anybody ever hear of it? It's a car show. Yeah, the guys just do weird, crazy things with cars every episode. So this episode I'm going to show you a clip from, they are attempting to refuel a car while driving down the road. So let's watch that, and hopefully you'll find it humorous. So, pretty ridiculous, right? No one would ever try that in real life. And yet, we do that to our souls all the time. We need to be refueled, and we don't stop to be refueled. There is something about stopping to get refueled, and even more so, imagine if they had tried to do an oil change on the go. Or something. Even NASCAR people have pit stops. Come on. I want us to look this morning at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. It's a familiar passage where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this idea of coming to Jesus and finding rest for our souls, you know, that can happen on the go. It probably should happen on the go. I remember one time when I got caught in a traffic jam trying to merge onto 90, coming home about 5, you know, during a rush hour. And it was just total log jam. And I remember in that moment, I remember just saying, "Hey, Lord," you know, and I started worshiping in the traffic jam, and I met with the Lord right there. I know it can happen, you know, out there on the go. But it is something to be said about setting time aside and stopping. And you guys are doing that this morning, setting time outside of your schedule to come and be refueled in his presence. And I want to talk to you for a couple of minutes this morning about a couple key words in this passage. One of them is rest. You know, that word rest that he uses here is actually the word that we get our word pause from, you know, pause button. It actually means to stop moving or stop working in order to recover and be refreshed. It's like break time. And it's a perfect weekend to talk about this because of Labor Day. You know, the whole idea is to stop work so you can be refreshed. This is a very scriptural idea, as you probably know. Back in Genesis 2, when God was finished creating the earth, verse 2 says that he rested. Now, that always confused me, because why would God need to rest? He doesn't need to rest. The actual word for rest in this place, again, is stopped. It simply means he stopped making stuff. And he stood back and he set an example for us that sometimes we should stop working. And it's called, in Hebrew, Shabbat. We would pronounce it Sabbath. And that's the day he set aside for our sake. And when you get to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 8, we're commanded to stop. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what that actually means, again, the word Sabbath meaning stop, remember to stop. Simply what it means. That's a commandment. Right up there with don't kill people, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, all this other stuff. Remember to stop. Simple commandment. But not just to stop, but to keep, set aside a holy time. That's what holy means, is a set aside time to be with the Lord. It's one of the commandments that is, it's the fourth commandment, and those first four are talking about our relationship with God. So set aside time to have, to, you know, develop your relationship with God is basically what that means. You know, today even if you were to be in a Jewish community, you might hear people say on Friday as they're getting ready to head into the Sabbath, to the weekend, Shabbat Shalom, peaceful Sabbath. You know, we would say, hey, have a good weekend, right? But they say Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, you know, we think of that as meaning peace, and it does, but it also, it has more meaning than that. It has a whole general sense of well-being. It's almost like saying, hey, may all be well with your soul when you take, when you stop this weekend. May you find that your soul is refreshed and all becomes well with your soul. So there's a lot in those words, but they definitely connect stopping with the well-being of our souls. They also, in Psalm 62:1, point out that the only place our soul can find rest is in God. We can find, you know, physical rest in different ways, but our souls can only find rest one way, and that is in God alone. Psalm 62:1. St. Augustine said it too. He said, we are restless till we find our rest in God. He's the only place we can find it. When Jesus came on the scene, he grew up with that culture, that Sabbath day culture. And so even though he led a very busy life and he was going all over the place, healing people, he had all these speaking engagements all over the place, he was busy, but he took time, whether he was in Capernaum and he went to the synagogue, or whether he was in Jerusalem and he went to the temple, he took time like you guys are today, aside to go to worship services. But he did also observe some holy days. We call them holidays. You know, Labor Day could be an example, I suppose. He took some holidays, some holy days that he observed the Sabbath for, in addition to the Sabbath, Passover was one of the holy days that they observed. So he set that example. He didn't just blow it off and say, you don't need that. He did that. He messed with their heads a little bit about what the Sabbath really was all about when he actually healed some people on the Sabbath, and they thought that was too much like work, but they were missing the point, you know. But beyond all that, in Luke 5:16, we find that it says Jesus often withdrew to be alone and pray. So he had a habit in his life of not just going to church, but to take other times during the week where he stopped and he got away from stuff and he just spent some time with the Lord to be refreshed. And that's what fueled him. That's what empowered him to go minister to people the other times during the week. And we live in a go culture. You know, everything has to be open 24/7. And I remember vaguely when I was a kid, some of you guys remember, there were actually laws that places had to be closed on Sundays. You know, Chick-fil-A is the only one holding to that anymore. So, representing there, thank you. But our culture has changed, and nobody seems to recognize the need to stop. Even the drive-thru, we get upset if it takes too long to get through the drive-thru. Is it any surprise that our souls are more weary and more burdened than ever? I don't have statistics on that, but I think you feel it and I think you know it. These words used here, weary and burdened, tired out, worn out, depleted, exhausted, weighed down, like you're carrying a heavy load. All these kind of words describe a lot of us and how our souls feel. So it's awesome in this passage that Jesus is inviting us to come to him to find rest for our souls. But I know there's a resistance in us to actually stopping and doing that. There's something in us that wants to just keep going. And I'm not sure what that is. You know, for some people, maybe it's greed. You know, I got to make the money so I can buy the toys so that I can impress the people. Or, well, I don't know what it is. But I think a lot of times there's fear involved in stopping. And I just want to address that real briefly, that I think you could relate to this. If you're driving down the road and you hear a noise in your engine, would you be a little afraid of, oh boy, I think there's a problem in my engine. I'm afraid to stop at the mechanic now to find out what it is, because it might be a $3,000 repair. Oh no. So turn the radio up so I don't have to hear the sound. Keep going. Put a piece of electrical tape over the warning light so I don't have to know. Just keep going. It'll break down eventually, I know that, but that's what we do with our souls, I think. We're a little afraid to actually stop and check because we know there's stuff going on in there. We heard the noise down there. We know there's something, and it's not hunger. Our souls are saying, help me. I'm weary. I'm burdened. And if we don't stop, we're going to crash at some point. It's going to end badly. I think we're afraid of ourselves because of what's bottled up in us, and we don't want to deal with it. We don't even know what it is. We're afraid to stop and look under the hood for fear of what we're going to see. I think we're afraid of others, what they may think of us. If we stop and we don't actually get that job done for them on time, then they'll think we're slackers, and maybe we're afraid of God himself and what he'll say. If we actually stop and take time to listen to him, I think sometimes we're afraid that he's going to rebuke us and say how horrible people we are, or beat on us, or maybe tell us to, you know, give all our money away to the poor and move to Africa or something. You know, maybe he's going to tell us something that we don't want to hear, so we're scared. So I think fear sometimes drives us to keep going. The other word in this passage that I want to spend a little time on is the word yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. And I never really paid a lot of attention to that part because I'm not into yokes. I'm not really a yoke person. I can't really relate to that. I've never raised oxen. And obviously it's a wooden thing placed on the neck of the animals. But I had to read about this a little bit and research what it was all about, because I finally had to face this yoke thing and figure out. I thought the yoke, you know, isn't that airplane steering wheel called a yoke or something? And I know, anyway, I thought maybe it had to do with steering or something. But I got a little very short video clip of a guy training oxen in a yoke, and it shows you. One thing you can see in this is that the yoke is not involved in steering. We'll talk about what it is doing, but it's not involved in steering. Let's watch the guy how he does steer the oxen in the yoke, real quickly here.
So I say Brutus, haw. Cassius, haw. The more I back up, the tighter I can make this turn. Whoa.
So pretty cool how gently this guy totally has command of these 4,000-pound creatures. He's not whipping them. He's not yelling at them. He's not driving them. He's doing some gentle taps. He's moving his body different ways so that they follow his movements. He's calling them by name, calling them ha, and whatever the words are for different directions. So he's not steering them by the yoke. I mean, the yoke is there. You can see it, but he's not steering them by the yoke. So I had to learn that. I learned two things about the yoke. It's a connector. I would call it a connector. For one thing, it's connecting the two animals together so that they can pull together, so it's not, the weight is not all on just one of them. And second thing is that it's connecting a plow, it enables you to connect a plow or a cart or something to both animals. It's like a hitch on your car, you know, it's some place you can attach to. So those are the two things that the yoke is doing, connecting the animals and connecting the load. And so as I, and that's what this word means, and it's very clear. The Greek word, you know, is clear that it's coupling two animals together. So when I read this, I never thought of this before. I'm like, this is even too weird for me. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. And I'm picturing that he's the farmer. Come be my oxen. Let me put this thing on you. But as I thought about it more, it's coupling. He's taking my yoke upon you. I'm wearing the yoke already. I'm an oxen. Come stand next to me, Jesus is saying, and get in this yoke together with me. We'll pull it together, okay? We'll pull it together. You don't have to do this on your own. I believe that's what he's saying here. And as I read about this, when you're training oxen in a yoke, you got to put one who doesn't know how to wear a yoke with one who already does. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He knows we don't know how to do it yet. Let me be paired with me, and you'll learn how to do it. Just follow me. And guess what? I think that guy with the stick tapping is the Father, because Jesus always didn't, he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father doing it. He was following the Father's movements. Okay, Father, what do I do now? What do I do now? I'm turning? Okay. And we're supposed to be yoked with him. It's a beautiful picture of how this is supposed to work. And Jesus is inviting us to take part in that. And he says that I'm gentle and humble. And obviously those oxen you saw, they were gentle, right? Obviously they could completely destroy your house if they wanted to, if they went wild on you. But they were strength under control is what that word gentle means. It doesn't mean they're weak. It means they're gentle. They're controlled strength. And the humble idea, just being low, you know, Jesus lowered himself to the place of a servant, and that's what those oxen are doing. They're not free to go do whatever they want to do. They said, okay, you can put the yoke on me. I'll be your servant. I'll pull the load. And it's a humbling kind of thing. And that's what Jesus did, and that's the example he's already set for us, and he's just inviting us to join him in that. And I'll say this for those of you who totally can't get into the yoke thing. You know, last night we went to the high school football team. Panthers won. Good game. And I thought of it this morning. You know, it's similar to being on a football team. You know, the maybe you were on a team where you were abused and used, and this other quarterback is saying, hey, come be on my team. Come play in the backfield with me. I got a great coach. He's going to call the plays, and then I'm going to run the plays, and you can be there with me. I'll give you a great place on this team. It's almost like he's inviting us, you know, to work together with him in a different way. So, you know, if you can't get into the yoke thing, maybe you can get into the team imagery or something. But what another thing that occurred to me about this yoke is, in order to take my yoke upon you, you have to make sure you aren't wearing a different yoke already. And the fact that he's saying you're weary and you're burdened indicates to me that you're wearing a hard yoke. It's not an easy yoke. He's contrasting his yoke with the yoke you're already wearing. You're wearing a hard yoke. You're pulling a heavy burden. I have an easy yoke for you. I have a light burden for you. Let's trade. Let's switch that. So in order to receive this that he has for us, I believe he has to take the old one off. And I think we can kind of assess where our souls are at any given day, any given time of day, by saying, is my soul at rest right now? If my soul's not at rest, chances are I'm yoked to something other than Jesus. Something else has got a hold of me. Something else is pulling me somewhere. Something else is burdening me, and it's not Jesus. I think we need to learn to recognize those moments and come to Jesus. Let him take the old one off and put his on. And I think the way this works is that the enemy likes to put yokes on us. And I think he looks for vulnerable places in our souls where he can get something on us. Jesus said in John 14:30, he's talking about the enemy, and he says, he has nothing in me. And I keep thinking of that verse in relation to this. It's almost like I can hear Jesus saying, you know, the enemy wants to put a yoke on me. He can't do it. He can find no way of getting that thing around my neck. He's got nothing to hook himself onto in my spirit. He's got nothing in me. But all of us, we got lots of places, vulnerable places, weak areas in our lives that the enemy can get a hook in. He can get his hand in. He can get the yoke on us in those areas. So that's something you could ask yourself this morning. You know, what yoke has the enemy put on me, and what burden is he attaching to that yoke? And I'm sure there's as many examples of this as people are here. But just a couple of thoughts to get you thinking about it. This will give you an example of, and I want you to think of your own heart. If you, growing up, did not get your emotional needs met, didn't feel loved, didn't get enough affection, attention, things like that, there's a vulnerable place in your heart that the enemy can get a hold of. He can put a yoke on that place. Maybe the yoke, I'm thinking that the yoke might be a lie. He can put a lie on you. You're not loved. You're not cared for. Unless you pull this burden, which could be, you know, perform. If you work hard enough, maybe you'll earn love. Or maybe he put the burden of lust on you. Maybe you can find love this way. And all of a sudden you got this burden attached to you. Maybe he puts the burden on you. You're not complete in yourself. You need another person, so you better find somebody. And you're always needy, trying to find somebody. And that's a burden you carry. Maybe the wound of that emotional vacuum in your heart is so hurting that you end up carrying a burden of addiction, because that's something that you're hoping fills that hurt, you know? This is the kind of deep stuff I'm thinking of as I'm looking at this yoke thing. Maybe growing up, your physical needs were not met. Maybe you didn't have enough food as a kid, or you weren't provided for well. Enemy can get a hold of that vulnerable place in your heart, put a lie on you, put a yoke on you. You know, you can't trust anybody to take care of you because your parents didn't take care of you. You know, you got to look out for number one. You got to go get it. You got to go work hard and get the money to get the stuff you didn't have when you were a kid. You got to, and you got to live in fear and anxiety that you're not going to have what you need. Or you need to you know, you can't trust anybody. If you, maybe you were physically abused growing up, and the enemy had a place to get a hold of you, is what I'm saying. And all these burdens come in attached to that yoke. God does not want us to live weary and burdened lives. He does not like it when the enemy comes in and puts those yokes on us. It makes him very angry when the enemy attaches burdens to our souls. And I was reading in Isaiah chapter 10, God is expressing his anger about yokes. He's expressing his anger about, in this example, about how the Assyrians were putting a yoke of oppression on his people. And he's really mad. I think this serves as a good example of how the Lord feels about the enemy putting something on us. He's mad about it, and he's going to deal. That's what this Isaiah 10 is about. He's going to deal with the enemy for doing that to us. He's going to deal with it. And I was reading that. I was getting inspired. Yeah, go get him, God. The Lord's fighting for us. Yeah, break the yoke. Break the yoke. But when it actually comes to taking that yoke off of your soul, God can't bring any of that anger into that moment. He feels like taking an axe and chopping the yoke off your neck, but he knows you can't do that to an animal. You're going to hurt the animal. So he's got to somehow deal with the enemy very severely, and yet when it comes to us, somehow he has to have that gentleness that he spoke of. And I want you to hear this one verse from Isaiah 10, Isaiah 10, 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, isn't that a weird thing to say? How is anointing oil going to destroy a yoke? And the way I think of it is, if you got a ring that's too tight and you can't get it off, you put some dish soap in there, usually you can slide the thing off. I believe the anointing oil, or that's representative of the Holy Spirit, can comfort, can soothe those places in our hearts. Remember what I said, unmet needs, old hurts, places that the enemy can get a hold of you. I believe that the Holy Spirit can soothe like oil, comfort those places, and before we know it, ooh, that yoke just slid right off. It's gone. So that's what I feel like is how this works. We do carry those burdens. We do have those yokes attached to us, but God does not want it that way, and he wants to remove them, and this is how he does it, by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't come chopping. He'd chop the enemy, but when he comes to our souls, if you're scared to meet with God because of what he's going to do to you, if you're scared to open your heart to him because it's so tender and so hurting, he's not going to treat you like that. It's going to be his oil. God is strong against the enemy, but gentle with us. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to, I believe God wants to do this for some of you today. He wants to do it for all of you, but some of you probably aren't into it. But there's some in every crowd. Okay, when's this thing going to end? I know it. But there's some of you who are like, I need this. Oh, God, I need this. You're the ones who are going to receive today. And we took 2 minutes to watch a silly video earlier. I want to take about 3 minutes right now. We're going to put some quiet music on in the background. And I just want you to take three or so quiet minutes here just to open your heart before the Lord, to do what that verse says. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Take three or so minutes here to let Jesus do that with you. And I'll just give you one last thing as this happens. If you feel tears coming, let them come. That is the Lord removing the yoke. So receive from him. Thank you, Lord, that you are so good. You are so strong, Lord, but you are so gentle with our souls. And it is humbling, Lord, for us to stop and receive from you. But we thank you that whenever we do, Lord, we get so much from you, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that in the days ahead, I'm sure the world is going to keep going crazy, and I'm sure our souls are going to be vulnerable to being burdened, growing weary, and we're going to often need to withdraw to a quiet place like you did. And have our souls restored. Just pray you'll help keep us mindful of that, Lord. Like your word says, remember the Sabbath. Remember to stop and set aside that time. I pray that your spirit would remind us to do that when we need it. And I pray that we would recognize, Lord, those vulnerable areas in us that the enemy tries to attach to. And we would recognize that feeling of burden that he puts on us, and we would recognize it quickly, and we would say, no, I'm going to Jesus. I'm not going to carry this. I'm going to Jesus and do a yoke exchange again. Keep us, Lord, in that place as much as possible, Lord, where we can be in a place of rest for our souls. We thank you so much for offering that to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may want to receive more prayer. As was said earlier, there's going to be people up here praying for healing and any other kind of needs be on this side. And but you also are welcome to linger in the sanctuary or linger out in the Welcome Center where... Before you go, have a great week. Have a good Labor Day. Remember to stop.